I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And she was like, did you offer to buy me a drink? And I was like, yes. So then she took me up on buying her a drink, danced with me for two songs, said, I'm going to the bathroom, and then disappeared.
What the hell?
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that's at the center of the next vibe shift. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
That was a surprise. I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out about rejection with comedian Alicia Hush. And I'm sorry if I just kind of rejected your opening line.
You did reject my opening line. Is it because I'm like 2 weeks too late on making this the opening line, and therefore we wouldn't be at the center of the vibe shift? We are that group that's left out
of
the vibe shift.
We are left of center of the vibe shift.
Okay. We've been left behind. In, of course, the dykes are left behind in the vibe shift. I don't know. I'm thinking dykes are at the center of the next vibe shift.
The cool dykes are like, speak for yourself. I uttered this mid-Feb.
Sorry, there were just so many other intros to get to first.
Carolyn's learning. She's learning. She's listening. She's growing. What did I just have to define for you recently? What was it? And I just sent you an urban dictionary. I was like, girl.
Oh,
flop era.
Flop era.
Flop era.
Yeah.
But I'm in my flop era. You thought it was a typo.
Maybe the vibe is like not having to talk about things as soon as they're hot to talk about. Okay. Maybe the vibe is being 2 weeks late on talking about the vibe shift.
Okay. Okay. Flop. Anyways,
our international listeners are like, wow. Let's start the Australian version of dyking out.
What's up? What's new? We had Stonewall. It was good.
Yeah. We have another one. March 28th. Yeah, we're trying to push back the time, waiting to hear back on that, because we know some of you, you know, work a little bit later and they have a piano bar going on afterwards. But we're like, can we just like nudge that back a little bit, because we fill the room.
Yeah, listen, the dykes, they need to change out of the business casual dyke garb. Get into those docks. Get on down a Stonewall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're busy. We have things to do during the day, and we can't all make it to Stonewall by 7 o'clock. So March 28th, Monday, it'll be such a fun show. This last one was so much fun as usual. And I even did a Kristen Stewart impression, and I didn't mean to.
It was so fun. I joined you.
Yeah.
We had dual stew impressions.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I felt great, except Cecilia was like, I recorded the whole opening except the K-Stew impression. And it was the one thing. And then she starts recording again where I'm like, I hope someone got that on video. And it was the one
Sassy
part that she didn't get. But that's okay, because I love her so much. She can do no wrong. Other announcements, you know, as always, rate and review us. We don't want to feel more rejected. So please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and join our Patreon now with Discord. If you're at the $10 a month level, if you're at the $5 a month level, you get access to an extra episode every week where we are talking shit. And what else? At $15 a month, you get ad-free episodes. $20 a month, you get a ticket to our live shows. And every other month, we do a hang on Zoom together. It's so, so important. Our patrons really keep this podcast afloat. It means a lot to us. We've formed relationships with our patrons. And we've had patrons say that it's definitely worth the $5 a month for all the tea that we drop on the off-topic episodes. I will say that.
Yeah.
Just glowing reviews. So I think it's definitely worth it to be a patron. I love our patrons so much.
Darius literally touched my eyeball, helping me get an eyelash
that's
lodged
how close
up
we
close
get.
To my brain out for me. Like,
that's how much you
close.
Rely on our patrons.
Yes.
They keep us funded and keep the eyelashes out of our eyeballs.
One of them, same one, helped us get Rosie. I mean, this is a community. Yeah.
It is. Yes. Ugh. I love it. Well, Melody.
Yes.
I think I might know what your gayest thing has to do with based on last week's episode. You were going to see a play with a group of queer Persians.
Yes. And
so what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Boy, oh boy. I always knew Persians were rowdy. I always knew a gaggle of gays could be rowdy. I never put the two together and have never had so many tequila shots. Oh my God. Persians are insane. Wow. Not before the play. The play was incredible. Highly recommend. It'll probably be out for one more week once this comes out. English at the Atlantic Theater. Hung out with Puya.
Wait, what? Tequila shots. Is there like a what's the Persian liquor of choice? I feel like every country kind of has like their own like.
Persians will drink everything and anything because it's legal to. This is of like American Persians.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of tequila and vodka. It's clears. What? Oh, it's illegal. You can't drink in Iran.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But so it's not like Iran has like a special kind of.
It's underground.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know. The Persians I know in my family, it's usually tequila or vodka. And I felt like justified in it because one of them was a doctor. I don't know, guys. she was the one who kept buying them. Montre.
Doctor's orders.
We tried to go to Stonewall, too crowded. They're also very strict about their ID. Heads up, anyone traveling to New York, the vaccine and ID combo. They're so strict about. My friend Cyrus had left his ID in the apartment he was staying in and had a picture of it with his vax card, but we couldn't get into Stonewall. Couldn't get into like any of the West Village bars. They're all so strict. Duplex was the only one that was like, I'll accept a photo. So what do you know? I'm at the Duplex. I don't know the last time I was there. everyone was so young, but they were playing like Pussycat Dolls and like Britney Spears and like all of like our music videos.
I'm surprised it was a younger crowd because I think the times I've been there, it's been a little bit older.
Upstairs.
But maybe.
The older people were downstairs at the, it's okay. Duplex right. is a piano bar. Is it the longest running cabaret in the area? I feel like.
I have no idea, but you can make that up if you want.
Right. By Stonewall on Christopher Street. You know what I did? My gayest thing. I found it. I arrived at it. Okay. I'm prepared. Was drunkenly making friends with everyone dancing at Duplex and going so far as following Dyking Out on their phones and making some of them buy tickets on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I was worried about ticket sales. We normally sell out within a day or two, but it took
the full
a few
week.
Days
I mean,
this time.
Yeah. We normally post the event a lot sooner, but we've had a lot going on and have been posting it closer to the show date, and we were getting a little bit nervous, like, this always sells out, what's going on? So Melody, you got some traffic in the door. I did it.
Everyone was talking to us too, because I was there with a very attractive friend and getting hit on everyone, but especially the cis men. And this is a trans man who is just like stunning. And it was like my job to just like go up to all them, talk about rejection after they'd been rejected, be like, listen, he likes girls, like this is, you know. So that'll do it.
Well, thank you for your service and glad you
Anytime.
Had a fun gay night. Look at you going out in the West Village, Melody.
What am I, Carolyn and or Ceci and or a third?
you might be, because my gayest thing was going back to Stonewall later in the week.
Can't get enough.
Well, because I had been to Stonewall also the week before. You know, I'm spending a lot of time at Stonewall lately. It's like my home base. And two times ago, or like the last time, I guess, before the show, the infamous nipple tassel day. The nipple tassel day. Somebody was there, and I believe that they bartend at Henrietta Hudson. They used to be a bar back at Cubbyhole, and they were having a birthday party at Stonewall. So they gave us like a flyer to come to it. And Cecilia and I were having dinner with past guest Jess Rothschild. And afterwards, we felt like, you know, it's still kind of early. Maybe we just pop into Stonewall and see how the party is going. We knew Debbie from Cubbyhole is going to be there, since Cubbyhole is undergoing renovations. So Debbie's been hanging out at Stonewall a lot. And we went there, and wow, talk about young people. For the first time, I felt like too old to be at Stonewall. It was so many young people upstairs at that party. It was so gay. People were dressed as like angels, as priests. There was a barber giving haircuts on the stage.
I saw that.
Right next to like go-go dancing. It was supposed to be like a Studio 54 kind of theme. The bartenders were dressed in like...
And they know what that is.
Right. Yeah, they had to look it up.
Do we even?
I know. The bartenders were wearing like these 1970s kind of like gym teacher clothes, like
Hot.
Little track shorts and sweatbands and stuff, and had whistles that they were blowing. It was a very fun vibe, but Cecilia and I were like, we're feeling a little bit old. We're not planning on like partying hard tonight. Let's just like go downstairs, finish our dyke beers, and maybe shoot some pool. So we met some new friends that we were playing pool with, having a good time. And then in walks Leah Delaria, Vicky Martinez, and Emily Tarver, all of Orange is the New Black. So kind of like running into three people from Orange is the New Black at Stonewall.
That's it.
That's pretty gay. But one other thing that happened.
I love your Russian doll gayest things. Yes.
I know. Well, because sometimes I feel like going to Stonewall, you know, it doesn't feel fresh. How about I watched Beaches for the first time?
Oh, my God.
And I didn't cry.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
I think I didn't cry because the whole time I was just mad that they weren't gay. I'm like, clearly.
You
all the jealousy. They're obviously...
Subtext.
in love with each other. I know there's like a Les Hangout should have been gay episode about it. Like, I'm sure it's been done on Queer Film Theory a million times.
Yeah.
It's so gay. And the whole time I'm like, wow, they really, I would have cried if this was a story about, you know, them realizing they loved each other when it was too late or something like that. Like, I don't know. I was also like baking macarons during it. So I kept having to like pause and, you know, go to the oven and stuff. Am I a sociopath? Is like, am I dead inside?
Yeah, you are. Did Ceci watched it, right? Did she cry?
Yes, she's seen it before. She cries every time. She wanted to watch it because she felt like crying. So she loves to, you know, occasionally just do an emotions dump to a sad movie. And she's like, let's watch Beaches.
Why can't you attribute the same subtext you apply to fucking Real Housewives of New York when you're watching Beaches?
I mean, I'm not like crying at Real Housewives.
You're not? I have. So sad.
I do cry at things. I also try not to cry at things. I mean, I've said it before. I don't like to cry at things because I don't like getting stuffy. So if I can like, so practical. You know, hold it.
Practical Capricorn.
If crying didn't make me stuffy, I'd be crying all the time. Don't you worry. I just don't always have tissues within reaching distance, you know? Yeah, I mean, countless gay things about that movie, but whatevs. We have more important things to talk about, like rejection. Today, we're diking out with Alicia Hush about that. Alicia is a stand-up, improv, and sketch comedian and writer based in New York City. She performs regularly at clubs and colleges across the country and has been a featured performer at New York Pride. Also the producer of Comedy Ugly, a stand-up strip show in Brooklyn. And we're going to talk about that. So let's get to it.
Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. Long time no see.
Hello, hello. How are
welcome.
You?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, Alicia and I know each other, you would think through stand-up, but we met each other on Fire Island before we had stand-up comedy environment crossover, which I love.
Yeah. It's the best way to make a new friend.
Best way to make queer friends for life.
Yeah.
Was that your first time there?
Yeah, absolutely. So fun. It was your first time too?
Same. Yeah. First time.
Oh my God. So fun. Oh my God. You guys were so good at it. I thought you guys
were so good at it. Everyone was hitting on Alicia.
Old pros. There was one person. She just happened to be the queen.
Yeah. And we can get into that later or not, or to get into it and edit it out. We'll see how that goes. Carolyn.
Well, and Alicia and I, we know each other from doing comedy, but I haven't seen you since before the pandemic. So it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a really long time.
Man, how have you been doing with comedy? You have your show, Comedy Ugly, which is a strip stand-up show.
Yes.
Why?
that's an excellent question. Marissa and I both just really, I host a show with another queer comic, Marissa Riley, and we just really liked the idea of like having a comedy show at Coyote Ugly, where the comics would have to dance afterwards, but Coyote Ugly was like, no. So we just kind of ran with it and did something else from there. But yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, there was the Naked Show. Do you remember when that was around?
Yeah.
So it's like the Naked Show. I'm like, all right, I get the Naked Show. This is like the most. This is like everyone's nightmare, right? Like being naked on a stage and
you
having everyone. Yeah. You just like start naked and like just jump into that nightmare. But like for me to, for some reason, I'm like having to like take off clothing while remembering my jokes. I'm like, how disorienting.
I forget all the time.
You don't seem like it. I went to that show a couple months ago. You and Marissa are just so good at it now, probably with practice.
Practice.
Amazing sets. And the jokes were good too. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Just cool as a cucumber, though.
Melody was just trying to say that she wasn't a pervert, and here we go. Now I feel like I should just go, like I must go to a show and support it, because I'm so curious, like, do people really get into the stripping part of it? Like, do they like do a little bit of a performance, or are some people there like, all right, here's one thing off, here's another? Are they addressing their body parts as they're stripping? What's going on?
Yeah, it's the full gamut.
All of the above.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. People either get really into it. I've had somebody just like take items out of a backpack before. That was so fun. it's great. It's so fun. People forget all the time in the middle of their set, and we literally just have to ask the audience, and they don't always remember either. Like, we've had a lot of comics just be like, well, that's next bit. We got to move on.
Yeah. I like that you guys play music, though. And so it's like the designated strip time in the middle of the set. And you guys do time it at, like, when it's apropos. Because I've done, there was a show in Chicago called Strip Joker where I didn't know when to do it. I also was on a lineup with someone I hate. And I hope they realize this, are listening, because they're queer, trans, non-binary, asshole. Anyone can be an asshole in the community. And they were like really creepy, commenting on my body. I did this thing where I wore like insane amount, like layers and layers of lingerie, because I had just gotten out of a relationship with someone with a nylon fetish, and I was like, oh, it'd be funny to roast my ex while taking all this off.
Yeah.
And this person bum rushed me backstage while I was like quite literally naked and afraid, and was like, wow, cool loophole, Melody, like calling it a loophole. I'm like, wow, now I'm so glad I didn't get naked in front of you. Meg Stalter had to like defend me and tell them to fuck up. It was a whole thing. Oh, so that's maybe that's weird. Why I'm like afraid to do a show like that again.
I definitely wasn't expecting you to say layers and layers of lingerie.
Layers and layers, like layers absurd layers. Amount. So I can make lingerie not sexy. Watch me.
Yeah, the audience is pretty into it. The audience is like, whatever you bring, they really get into it.
Are they taping with their phones?
No, they're not allowed to do that. They're absolutely not allowed to do that. We have had people like offer to take photos before, which is like so nice. But usually we decline.
Yeah.
And then we did have somebody ask if we would do it over Zoom as an event. And we were like, yeah, absolutely not.
What the fuck?
Who would
sponsored
agree to
by
that?
Pornhub.
Like, who would agree to do that?
Just sign up for Cam Soda. Like, what's happening? Anyways.
Yeah,
we're really diving into this, and almost forgot to ask you a very important question.
What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, I'm so excited that you asked, because hands down, the gayest thing I did this week was, I had like a fever dream about the movie Heavenly Creatures, but I was Kate Winslet in the dream.
Damn. Okay.
And it's the gayest thing that's happened.
That's the gayest
ever.
Dream.
So yeah. I wish I could like know kind of what that meant. Like, I'm familiar with Heavenly Creatures, but you can't stream it anywhere. I've been trying to watch it.
You used to be able to.
You can't right now.
I'll have to find it for you.
Okay, while you're looking for that, look for Spice World, because I don't know where I'm supposed to stream Spice World, okay?
Yeah, I'm like ready to try to find Heavenly Creatures like on eBay or something. I'm like, where can I watch?
That is the saddest thing I've heard. It used to be on Netflix. I used to watch it all the time.
Oh, man. How did I miss it? I'm so mad at myself. I have a planner for this year, and one of my goals is to watch Heavenly Creatures this year. I'm not even joking. I'm like, it's about time, and this is the year it's going to happen. And then I went to try it, and it wasn't streaming anywhere. I'm like, I'll pay $20 for it. I don't care.
I will look. I'll look for it.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know it's gay and it involves murder, right? So were you like murdering in your dream?
Maternal murder.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Sorry. But yes, they murder a mother.
Yeah.
yeah.
See, this sounds like it would be my favorite movie.
It's so good. And they're young.
Yeah.
And it's like they're so hot for each other. They really don't understand what's going on. And it just drives them into like an actual murder frenzy.
Yeah.
And they
love it.
You know, they kill someone's mother. And it's based on a true story. And they're like not allowed to contact each other now, like legally.
That's right. I forgot it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't even know. Yeah, yeah.
It's wild.
That's
wild.
Crazy.
And that was like one of the first things Melanie Lynskey was in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's having a real, moment right now that I'm so excited for. She was
right.
Like, Don't Look Up. What else? She got cheated in
Yellow Jackets.
In some Yellow Jackets. I was like, what was the other thing she got cheated on in this last year?
She's really being typecast, I guess. That's going to be her thing, unfortunately. Yeah. Also, for anyone new listening, I'm not into teen murder. Just that's a joke. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I'm just on the record. Sometimes I say things I'm like, well, someone could really think that. I'm serious. Anyway. Fire Island, you guys were in Cherry Grove together. It was your first time. Yes. Any tips for somebody going their first time like me doing this summer?
Oh my,
I'm so scared.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, I was very scared. if you're someone like me, I'm very intimidated by women.
Attention from women.
So, and I have to say they're everywhere when you go. So, you know, you got to keep your wits about you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I barely remember the weekend. I was like, I think I was like high the whole time. I was so anxious.
So much weed.
So
that's right. Weed. With your like cute little pink bowl. Wow. Yeah. We were high the whole time.
Well,
it is on brand. I don't know what actual good advice we have. Make sure you pack some snacks because everything is expensive. But if you're in Cherry Grove, you'll be close to good options. But I would say if you're going to the Pines for the first time, definitely pack some snacks. It feels like harder to find food there. I don't know.
Less options.
Yeah. If you're planning on skinny dipping like we did, I don't know, groom as you might want to.
Or come as you are. Yeah.
And
groom as you shall.
Watch out for horny dykes. Pretty on theme for this episode. I didn't watch Alicia get rejected.
Hold on. What?
Watch out for horny lesbians. Oh, in this case, Carolyn, behave.
I was going to say my wife and I are the horny lesbians that people need to watch out for. I'm sorry.
So don't go in. Yeah, don't scare the bisexuals. Okay. Just watching Alicia get a little nervous around horny lesbians last summer taught me that.
Real nervous.
Yeah.
What did Erica said to her in a text message? She's just shy with girls.
Yeah.
Oh no.
She came up with every possible. She was like, "She's shy. You're both bottoms." Like she was just like throwing anything.
So you left this lesbian possibly feeling rejected.
Yeah.
I don't know that also, I also maybe get the sense that it was, you know, played up because Erica
Rose,
loves a love story.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, writer director.
Some of it was, yeah. I don't know that it was as there, as existing, maybe.
All we got was like, she thinks you're hot. And then we were so obnoxious because we were all horny for life. It was post-vaccine, pre-knowledge of variants, summer 2021. Yeah. We were just so like, and then you were on a trip with like a bunch of dyke couples. And we were just so excited that our one dyke friend was interested in you, the one single dyke friend. And it was just us putting a lot of pressure on it. I felt so guilty afterwards. And then you shutting down. So like, I don't see it as like a full rejection. Like,
right.
It's like we made it so this person felt rejected because we hyped it up so much to the point where you had to be like, please leave me alone. And I'm so sorry for that.
It was also, yeah, a lot of the enthusiasm was coming from you guys and not from her. So I was like, I wonder if realistically.
Oh, it was there. You know? I'm talking for her now. And it's still on the table. And we'll work on it for summer 2022.
Now, I saw it happen recently where somebody, yes, thought somebody was cute. And then everyone else made this like big deal about it. And then the other person ended up like not being interested. And the original person then felt rejected where they really wouldn't have had no one made this whole big thing of it to make it feel like that was even on the table. Like they could have just gone the rest of the night thinking, hey, saw a cute person and that's it. And instead it's like, oh, I guess I'm not cute enough for them, you know? Why do we do that to each other, queers?
We just get so excited.
We do. Yeah,
I think that's it.
We just get so excited.
We love to see a coupling in the community.
We love to see a coupling. I know. We want to see it work out. We want to see it pull through.
Yeah.
Yep.
So rejection.
So rejection.
Rejection.
Yeah. Are you good at dealing with it? Personally, professionally?
Professionally, yes. Very, very well. Personally, I've had to grow a lot. Only recently I'm getting good at personal rejection, actually, and like dealing with it without, hurting people.
Right.
Is really, yeah. So no, I would say no, I'm not good at rejection, but I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I think with comedians, especially, that I'm like, well, you're used to rejection. So just like shift that mentality to your personal life. Like I had a friend who was recently rejected like a couple times personally, and they had such a hard time dealing with it. But I want to be like, you get rejected all the time. But that's not comforting. And
your
that's also
suck.
A very different
Come
thing.
On. You know.
Yeah.
Even really talented people get rejected.
Yeah.
I tell myself.
things I tell myself when I'm being rejected from the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, it's like, it's harder to tell yourself, like, oh, that woman who is not interested in me just doesn't get my art. It's like, well, no, it's you.
Plain and simple. But you were just saying like you're learning to deal with not hurting people, which you're dealing with being the rejector. No?
When I say hurting people, you know, when like when somebody hurts you and you lash out,
your reaction. Oh, yeah.
You like
yeah.
say mean things. Yes. Like, yeah, I get very like mean.
Me too.
So I'm learning not to do that. Be like verbally hurtful.
Yeah.
But I've only just recently, like in the past, like 5 years learned how to do that, like a late in life control my temper in that, in like very vulnerable situations like that.
Okay. What's your sign?
I am a fire sign. I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay. You knew it.
It's like I say a lot of things I don't mean, but that doesn't make it appropriate to say.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially because then the intention is just to cause pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Professionally, I'm a lot better at it. Like you said, as far as like the mentality goes.
Right.
I just have, I have like no way of crossing over anything. I don't have crossover brain. Do you know what I'm talking about? When people are like, oh, you can apply like the skills you learned from playing the piano. Those kids are good at math. It's like, I don't have any crossover in any of those things that people say. None.
Yeah. I mean, for comedy, I feel like you can't be in comedy if you're bad at rejection, because then you would just quit. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can stay like, in I mean, it or you hate yourself.
There we go. Like, I was like, wait, where do I fit in?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're like, yes, I deserve every rejection.
Pretty much. I take everything personally.
Yeah. It's so hard not to, especially like with with stand-up when it's like the potential for with rejection is every line.
Yeah.
Every punchline is like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have the potential for it's moment to moment to be told, nah.
Right.
I think I prefer that rejection though, because probably like almost a decade of having bombs, like I'm like numb to that. I would prefer like the bad set kind of rejection because it's immediate and then it's like objectively rejection, like versus submitting to a festival that the festival runner even told me to submit for and then like not hearing back or not getting that or like a packet or this or that, you know, just rip that rejection band-aid, please.
I hate submitting to stuff and not getting it. Yeah. My instinct is always to lie about submitting in the first place.
Telling that people that you didn't.
Yeah, like if like when submissions come out for things and people will be like, oh yeah, did you submit to this? Because they're all hearing back.
Yeah.
My first instinct, and I always have to fight it, is to be like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah. And then if you do get it, it's like they thought of me actually.
Right.
They came to me for that writing packet. Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with lying about that. Honestly, I think being the rejector helps you deal with rejection better. Like one time I sat in on casting for a job I had, and there were all these people who came through who nailed the audition, but for whatever reason, they just weren't right for the part. It was like you had a specific thing in mind. So I felt horrible having to pass on these people who were clearly talented and great. It would just be like, this person's like a little too young, or this person doesn't have the right look, or you know, they have like a Southern accent and we like that doesn't fit with who this character is, whatever it is. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sometimes you're just not the right fit. I think actors learn that faster than maybe comedians, because comedians, it's like, but so you don't like my, like, this is a reflection of me. I'm not saying someone else's words. It's like a little bit more personal for us.
I like the stories that are like, oh well, thank God I was rejected for that role, because then I was available to do this pilot that ended up being, you know, like Parks and Rec, I don't know, something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, those stories are always the best
vibes. Yeah,
I always feel I think that's like a really interesting take on it, like being the rejector does help, because even as you say that, like going back to like personal rejection, when I reject somebody personally, half the time it's not because they're not attractive or great or funny. It's just because you're right, they're just not for me.
Yeah,
right.
Which is like, I never think of that.
I'm
like, it's me. It's definitely me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like sometimes I feel like people don't like to break up with people, break it off, or turn people down. And I'm always like, you are doing them a favor. Like, if you're not feeling it, let them go. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the rejection is going to sting, but in the long run, they'll be better off for it. Just like, don't let them keep thinking that this is going somewhere. If it's not, cut it off, you know? And yeah, I probably, my advice has probably hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Go for it.
But that is true.
Yeah. Are you on the apps? I feel like that's like a whole other field of rejection.
You can get rejected in such volume speed now.
So stressful. I'm on Hinge, but I'm not messaging people first anymore, really.
So you're not on Bumble.
It's no. No, yeah. Bumble was not. Oh God. Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, having the power, that will be amazing. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It's like so much easier to like walk up to somebody and say hello than it is to just shoot them a message and be like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
I've never done the apps, but I feel like that should make people better at rejection. Or does it make people like reject so casually that then when it happens like in real life, you're like not prepared for it? I don't know.
Well, I think that's like maybe where the whole like ghosting rejection comes from.
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
It's like, it's so easy to like get into conversations with so many people that you quite likely aren't, it's like a numbers game, you know, aren't going right. to meet up with. That it's easy to just let these conversations where you're like trying to get to actively get to know people fall off. And yeah. It's like almost like, well, you know, that person has fallen off and then, it, you know, they just stop answering stuff.
Yeah.
In the same way that you would on a dating app, you just stop responding.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, what, you know, once you've actually met in person, there's an added layer there that you can't really ignore anymore. That doesn't make that appropriate.
So you're good with ghosting if you haven't met the person, but if you've met the person, no ghosting.
Oh, I mean, if I haven't met up with somebody and I haven't given them my phone number.
Yeah.
If I'm like, yeah, I stop messaging people on dating apps all the time. There's so many conversations that hinges like, I mean, Tinder still sends me messages that I've just like haven't been on Tinder in 7 years or however long.
I know. I wonder if my profile is still floating around there. Like I deleted the app, but I didn't like deactivate.
Yeah.
So I'm like, am I just there?
Yeah. You're out there.
Damn. Now I want to go and Tinder see how many matches I get. Just for like ego purposes.
And how many of them have been on the pod?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I was dating. Melanie, did you ever go on that?
Go on the apps? Oh, yeah. I was so good at Tinder. And Hinge wasn't really a thing by the time I got into this relationship with Allie. But I did Bumble, Tinder, OkCupid. I had nothing on my OkCupid profile. I remember my name on there was Lindsay Weir. And that was my way of being wow. Exactly. Because I was in love with Linda Cardellini, always have been identified with / was in love with Lindsay Weir from Freaks and Geeks. And that was just my way of weeding people out. People respond to me and they'd be like, hey, Lindsay, what's up? And I would ignore them. But if they were like, awesome, And with like with a Freaks and Geeks reference, that's how I'd go on a date with them. So it was a different time in general. Yeah. Clearly, I had the time.
You had a strategy.
And not much else standards wise. But
except for the obvious deal breaker right up front.
Yeah. That's it.
But did you ever ghost people on the apps?
Yeah. I wouldn't not to the point where we'd like met up. I would like let people off if we got on dates, if we had texted or called each other. But yeah, I think for women, especially when you're like matching with a lot of men, there's just you can lose someone in the mix.
Yeah.
At least back then, from what I remember, I actually went on the apps to explore dating men when I realized, oh, I don't think I'm a lesbian. I think I'm like bi. So it was just very different. I went on the Her app. It's gotten better, but from your reaction, maybe it hasn't. Like it just
I've
sucked.
Heard bad things. I've like, heard bad things.
It was so hard to navigate.
Yeah.
I don't think enough people were on it at the time too. I kept getting the same like 3 18-year-olds in Indiana trying to use it in Chicago. Mm-hmm.
The range was insane.
Right.
Insane.
And they'd keep showing you people that you were not interested in. Yeah. I don't get it.
That's all they had.
Ghosting was starting to become like a part of the lexicon, even like that. I was like one of the first people on Tinder, and I had like a couple years of it. But I wouldn't ghost, and I wouldn't haunt. Is that what a lot of friends I have deal with now? Haunting?
What is that?
Is it?
I've never heard of it.
Or breadcrumbing? What is it? It's when
is haunting if they still look at your stories.
They
and
still
stuff,
look at your
but
stories.
They don't talk to you.
Yeah.
They like your
posts. Haunting.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
But they're not going to. Yeah.
And it's so funny because I have people that I dated at this point 7 years ago who are still haunting me.
Yeah.
Why? Like people I actually liked and got rejected by and had my feelings hurt by who still look at my stories.
That's
so
odd.
Much
people
later.
So strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like ghosting is a worse form of rejecting than like straight up telling somebody, hey, you know I showed interest before, but like I'd rather just end this now. That's it. Like that's all I would want is a simple like heads up so that you can stop being like, well, like is the door open? Like I hate things being unclear like that. And I think a lot of people like if there was enough positive stuff, like they really cling on to that. And it just feels like a lot worse to be ignored.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Like ignoring is something you're supposed to do to bullies, not people that, you know, you liked at one point and maybe just aren't into anymore. Like,
Yeah. I think once somebody has your phone number, it's also just like a smart thing to be respectful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In that regard.
Yeah. I just feel like, I wonder how much better it is for like the lesbian dating app scene than it is for like on Grindr. I just feel like the rejection has got to sting so much worse on there.
On Grindr?
With like brutally honest. Yeah. Just like, men. even Jess Tom, who's starting to go on Grindr and do jokes about it, they are doing hormone replacement there for the first time. They've always identified as a lesbian, but they're finding that they're attracted to men, so they're going on Grindr. And already the jokes are about some pretty abrasive comments on there, I think. Or just like from friends I know. And the messages like my friend Justin will get as a gay black man on there. I'm just like, wow. Like the rejection is very biting, very racial, very fat phobic. Talk about Fire Island. I feel like I would be rejected as a human, like as a man mentally preparing for months in the lead up to go to somewhere like Fire Island or P-Town for Carnival. I don't know.
Carnival.
I don't know.
I wonder why it has to get like that where they have to be so specific about the reason for rejection on Grindr. Why can't it just be like a no thanks? But then on the other hand, anytime that we're rejected, I feel like we want to know, but why? you know, like if you don't get a job or something, or you're like, oh, why? Like, is it because I asked for too much money? Is it because you don't think I'm qualified? Was it close, but you like someone better? Like, those are things we all want to know. And we don't always get that. Do you think that makes it better or worse when somebody gives you a reason for rejection?
I feel like, I guess it depends on the reason they're giving you.
Right.
You know, if it's like, I mean, if it's a personal reason, like I feel like with jobs, maybe I would feel differently about it as well versus personally. But also I think it does help with closure sometimes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like when I got divorced, I felt like I didn't get a lot of closure because I never got like a real reason other than she said that she just wanted to be alone. But then like a few months later had a girlfriend. So I'm like, okay, well, like I never really bought that that was the reason, but now I'm left here wondering like, huh? And you know, at the time I just thought like, a reason would have been nice. I think that would have been like, okay. Cause then instead you're just like filling your head with like all the possible things and you're already feeling like low from the rejection. So then the things that are flooding your mind aren't like, oh, I'm just too wonderful for them. You know, you're like, oh, I fucking suck. Nobody's ever going to love me. You know, I'm ugly. Like all the stuff fills your head. So, you know,
It's it's toxic.
Yeah.
It's very toxic. Yeah. I could see that.
You hear that, ex-wife? You're toxic. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm over it. I'm over it. It's fine. It's fine.
Have you guys like, have you guys had any like embarrassing, embarrassing rejections?
That was one of the questions we had for you.
Go, Carolyn.
I could just see Carolyn's face like, okay.
How about all of middle school? How about that? How about like, just that feels like the just a time rife with the rejection.
Yeah, I guess that that makes me think of not like, I mean, I guess this was kind of rejection, but it was more annoying than anything. When I was in high school, I secretly had a girlfriend and it was time where everybody was like finding their dates for prom. And this girl, she went to another school. She's closeted, whatever. Like, she obviously wasn't coming to prom with me. I was pretty much closeted, except for my close friends. And my best friend's boyfriend's best friend. Like, we were all going to ride in the limo together. So I'm like, I might as well, like, just go with him since we're going in the same limo. Whatever. We're friends. It should be cool. But he was... he like thought I had the hots for him, which I didn't. Like, I had a girlfriend. And then when it came time to talk about it, he was like, look, I know you want to go to prom with me and I will, but it has to just be as friends. And I was just like, oh, fuck you. Like, are you kidding me? You think that I, you know, but then like the whole night of prom, he was like, not hanging out with me. Like, normally we were just friends, but he was like so afraid that I was just like gonna fall in love with him at prom when that was
such a magical night.
Negative zero. Like, that, no way that would have happened. Like, the whole time I was just like, when is this over so I can go hang out with my girlfriend?
Yeah, talk about an irrational fear, my friend.
So yeah, so that, like, it felt embarrassing because it's like I don't want this and I can't really tell you why I don't want this. And you're like so confident that I want this and like probably telling your buddies that. And it's like, ugh, this sucks.
That
sucks. And then you feel like stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
I did have one woman at Stonewall. I walked up to her and asked if I could buy her a drink. And she gave me a like once over, said no, went back to her drink. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to play it cool. I'm going to act like I don't even care. I came over here to get myself a drink. So I stood right, right there, right next to her still, and waited to get a drink. And then when I ordered my drink, she turned to me and she was like, wait, what did you ask me? And I was like, never mind. And then I think we were both embarrassed. And she was like, did you offer to buy me a drink? And I was like, yes. So then she took me up on buying her a drink, danced with me for two songs, said, I'm going to the bathroom, and then disappeared.
What the hell?
Wait, how old was she about?
I don't know. My guess was that she was about my age, and I think I was maybe 26, 27.
Okay.
So I feel like old enough to not be weird like that.
Right. But. Man. Okay. Now you've actually reminded me of a rejection that also felt like embarrassing in the gay realm of things, was that I was at my sister's room in Atlanta with my friend who later became my first wife. And I saw this woman who I was into, and we went to talk, and she had a friend. So like my friend / future wife was like, I'm going to wing woman for you. Like, and went and like made out with the friend or whatever. And then this woman and I were like, we're dancing together, we're talking, we're laughing, it seems to be going well. And she says that she's like kind of seeing someone, but it's like ending, whatever, or they like just broke up. She gives me her number. We talk about like hanging out. Mm-hmm. This is a time when like everybody... Mm-hmm. Like nobody was calling people on the phone anymore. But I thought like, oh, if I'm going to ask her on a date, I'm going to call her on the phone. Like huge. I don't know. Like I hadn't been single in a while. So I called her on the phone, left a voicemail, which again, like I understand why I was rejected. like totally get it.
What did your voicemail say?
I was like, hey, we talked about like hanging out. I'm having a bunch of people over to watch The L Word. If you want to join, like, let me know. It'll be fun. You know, just a bunch of queers watching The L Word. And, you know, didn't hear from her. Fast forward to like a month later. It's Valentine's Day. I'm at my sister's room and she's there with her friend again. Her friend in the meantime said that like nothing was going to happen because she had a girlfriend. And then we're at my sister's room and she's there on Valentine's Day without her girlfriend. So like clearly she doesn't have a girlfriend. Yeah. So I went up to her and I was like, I thought you had a girlfriend. And she was like, yeah, we broke up today. I'm like, bullshit. Like this is everything about this is embarrassing.
Like, jeez. So shameless.
Right?
My God.
Messy dykes.
Right. Anyway.
Yeah. I think I got rejected hitting on someone from the stage once in Chicago. There's this lesbian bartender. I think I've like literally sent you pictures, Carolyn, of her. I'll never get over her. It was like the kind of lesbian where like men, straight men, gay men, trans women, everyone was attracted to this person. And there was a weekly stand-up show in this bar in Chicago. And I remember like hitting on this bartender from the stage and be like, what do you say? And she just like laughed like it was just another joke. And then I was always afraid to get drinks after. And this is a bar I went to a lot. And it was just always awkward. And then she like once laughed and was like, oh, you're so cute or something like that. And then I'm on Tinder.
She said that?
Yeah.
You're so cute.
So like mixed signals. Always just like laughing off because I would aggressively hit on this person. I would say once every few months on this stage. I don't know. It was a long time. A big build. And then I saw her on Tinder and I swiped right on her and we matched. And then she messaged me something like, Melody, when are we going to go out or something? Like someone who I thought was rejecting me on a regular basis, so much different on the apps, and gave me her phone number. I remember texting with her. We were supposed to set up a time. Mind you, Allie and I hook up for the first time. We're starting to like see each other. I'm like, come on, girl. Like to this other girl, like let's get, I have a feeling about this. I just like really wanted to get it in under the
window.
The wire.
It's closing.
I know.
It's like one of those doors and the person has to slide under right before it shuts.
And then, I sent my like last like Hail Mary text and she never responded to it. And then I went to her Instagram and I saw she got back together with her ex-girlfriend.
Of course.
But what a bold move. Like, did I have a raging drinking problem my entire time spent in Chicago? Who does that? Like, hitting on someone from the stage while they're working.
It's bold.
While they're working. Begging them to go out with me.
That ties into another question, is like, when you get rejected, do you ever like try again for the same thing, or do you just like let it go and move on?
If it's professional stuff, I've submitted to festivals that rejected me, or like, you know, submitted packets that reopened that I never got and probably will never will. I think that I'll go back again and again for, but personal, especially if it's like sexual rejection, I'm not bold enough to be like, well, I can save this, or I can turn it around.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Humiliating.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Humiliating.
Exactly.
And that reminds me, yeah. I mean, even I'm like, and why weren't these dykes humiliated hitting on my girlfriend at Stone on our show? Are there listeners? They're listening right now. Couple of you felt so emboldened after our show at Stonewall to hit on Allie, like to interrupt me and Allie. One of them even said to me, I know I shouldn't hit on your girlfriend in front of you, but pivoted to Allie's tits and continued whatever else they had to say.
Wait, this past show?
Yes. And another listener just goes up to Allie and goes, what's up, Anna Delvey? And Allie was like,
shut
and then
up.
They were being flirty with her, but like, what a line. If you watch That's Inventing incredible. Anna, she literally calls herself ordinary looking. It's like really hammered in that she's just so ordinary looking. But I'm not over you, Irish accent listener sitting in the front row who came up to me and was like, I'm not supposed to hit on your girlfriend in front of you. However, and I remember I went, don't do it. And they continue. What the hell?
Wow.
That's
so
wild.
It looks like people are getting less and less afraid of rejection.
That's truly wild.
We're so numb.
Even going back to my embarrassing story, like when I saw that woman there on Valentine's Day, I still tried to buy her a drink later. I was like, I know I've been rejected,
wow,
but like, I was like, maybe she changed her mind. And then, and she like accepted the drink and ignored me. And I was like, okay, like sometimes I do need to be rejected like a couple times for like general interest. Like when it comes to anything sexual, like obviously consent, like no is no. And a rejection there, I'm just like immediately... totally fine. No. But like if it's somebody who has like shown an ounce of interest and then they pull back, I'm like, I'll try one more time.
Let me help them get there.
Give and take.
No, also consent and yes. But do we think, we need a certain amount of rejection? I like the example that comes to mind is because we're all comics, like going to a women only open mic or like queer only open mic, and you're getting so much sometimes undeserved support that you genuinely don't know if the material that you commuted, like wrote during the day, commuted, rehearsed, you have no idea how that actually landed because there's such blind support and enthusiasm that you don't know if you ended up wasting your time that night going to one. Like, do we need some rejection?
Oh yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think, I mean, for exactly the reason you said, is like too much support will not show you an accurate reflection of who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also, it's like, you know, the word no is like so widely used that it's like, if you're the one of the few people who's not hearing it, you're going to be fucked.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Like a nightmare.
For sure.
So it'll keep you sane.
Yeah. I think a no can be like a lesson we can learn from our rejections. I was looking into it of like, what are some ways to cope with rejection? And a big one or a common one is don't take it personally. But I'm like, you should take it personally sometimes. Like sometimes it is your fault. Sometimes it's not, like the casting example. Like sometimes it's not a fit. But you know, if you get rejected from a job, like maybe it's because you don't have the right experience, and that can tell you like where you need to go and get experience, or it can tell you you're applying to the wrong jobs. And that's why waste your time applying to the wrong jobs. Or if you get rejected after a date, like, yeah, maybe sometimes it's not personal, but sometimes think like, did I do anything on that date? Like if you read like those, Am I the Asshole Reddit? It's like some people are really oblivious to the things that they do that are actually terrible. So maybe like a little bit of rejection could be like, oh, this thing I do isn't great, and that's why I keep getting rejected. Maybe I can work on that. Maybe there's something that I can do, which is why I'm just a really big fan of honesty and people being candid about things, except Apple Podcast reviews. Please leave us five stars.
Keep the honesty to the emails and just keep those five stars coming. I mean, yeah, we love raw honesty.
I feel like I just stopped some dyke like hot in her tracks on Apple Podcasts ready to leave a hot 3-star review.
I think it's just opportunities for growth. This wasn't like somebody told me recently, I said something very casually, like, oh, I like violence. And he was like, you know, you don't have to say that like on a date, which was like, maybe not like an outright rejection, but in a way it was like definitely a rejection of the topic that I had brought.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
But he was ultimately probably right.
Yeah.
You know, lessons, as you say.
Yeah. And another thing too, it's like sometimes rejection is fine in that I think sometimes we have a desire to like want everybody to like us, and that's like an impossible thing to live up to. And you realize that fast when you have a podcast that like it's not for everyone, and you can't focus on the people who it's not for, or else or that's gonna drive you nuts. And like trying to, you know, when we say like learn from it, well, like maybe you're just not that person's taste, so I don't want to like pivot then to appeal to this person. It's also important to be yourself and surround yourself with like the opportunities and the people who love you for who you are and are willing to accept you, flaws and all, rather than trying to change yourself to appeal to certain groups
of everything. Yeah, that's something that I like I also have a hard time with, is like wanting to be likable by everyone.
Yeah.
And to like make sure that everybody feels liked by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well. Like I really don't. Yeah.
Cause it all hinges on opinions, which are more often than not subjective. And like, it's so hard to remember. I got rejected in a like pitch meeting once, like to my face. Allie and I pitched the concept of a pilot that would involve kind of both our perspectives, and we got cut off, and the guy was like, the head of comedy at this place, I won't say, was like, yeah, no, how about we just like, we cut all the Melody stuff, really focus on the Allie stuff. And I was like, I want to die. And I like took it to heart. And I got really upset. Didn't like gave up on this idea entirely. This script like was like, well, it's obviously trash because one person in the industry, one gatekeeper thought so, who also now like I see worked with problematic people, made questionable choices. I think in my subjective opinion, bad decision maker now in hindsight. But at the time I was like, well, scrap this idea forever. It's never going to happen. I will cease to work on it. Like it's so hard because rejection is pain and it hurts. You have to like grieve it and move on before you can rationally handle it. Sucks.
Yeah. Sometimes it's physical.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you ever been like completely heartbroken, like dumped in a major way. Like, I have never experienced, like, that's the most visceral rejection. I think, like, having my heart broken for the first time, being blindsided and broken up with, just like, I was in such physical pain. I didn't even think it could happen for me. I was like, I'm not like an emotional person like that. Like, that's for movies. Like, no.
Yeah.
On the ground, dry heaving, like, taking painkillers. Like, it hurt.
Yeah. I think the last time I felt like that was actually, so I was with my my ex-girlfriend for a few years, and we broke up, and that was very painful. But the last time I felt like physically painful was, I had been hooking up with one of my guy friends who's also a comic, and we had been so close and got on so well as friends that when all of a sudden he didn't want to have sex anymore, I was like distraught, yeah. Even though the friendship was like perfect and still is like perfectly intact. You know what I'm saying? It's like he kept the thing that was most important, but like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was like, took the arbitrary thing away and it destroyed me. But I think it's also because I didn't know why at the time. I was so confused that it was like in my body and it felt like it was about my body.
Yeah, man.
But I couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah.
What are the stages of grief?
Right.
Do you have that with rejection? Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's like, if it's part of a grief, if you're grieving.
Yeah.
I mean, also rejection early on can affect your attachment style as an adult. So like parents rejecting you. Because I was thinking, like, you know, most cases of rejection, I can always be like, well, it was for the best. But there are some instances where you're like, that wasn't for the best when, you know, a parent rejects a child. Like, that's,
yeah.
And it's not that like
rarely for blatant. The best.
It's like literally you can have like alcoholic right. parents who
right.
are mm-hmm. in a way rejecting and abandoning the child.
Drag me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm dragging Allie's parents, to be honest, but yeah, really manifests in some crazy ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Or even just like, I don't know if your dads do this. This is like maybe a small rejection.
How did we not even get to dads yet? Okay.
my dad does this thing. And I was talking to one of my best friends about this, where he'll be like reading the newspaper or watching TV. And he will interrupt what he's doing to ask me something. And then I will respond and build on it. And in the time that it takes me to do that, he will go back to reading or watching football and then be so exasperated if he has to turn it off so that I can finish my response to what he just asked me.
Oh man. I don't know how often my dad does that. I feel like I'm your dad. And you know what? I'll work on it. I'm just the worst person to watch anything with.
That's so funny.
I'm sorry on behalf of your dad.
it's like a whole to do. It's like, yeah. God forbid the pausing of
yeah.
I thought you were going in the direction of what my mom used to do, and it would just be like have the literal newspaper like up blocking herself
oh,
off from
my,
me and my sister. And us like trying to get her attention and being like, I got pregnant at school today, like waiting for her to kind of be bothered to
literally
to hear what her
a wall up.
Two teenage daughters are saying 2 feet yeah. away from her.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mom yeah. did stuff like that too, actually. She would lock us out of her room. Like just like when she'd like
yes.
not like so crazy often, but it would be like she'd be at a breaking point. We would be like clawing at her. She was overworked, like just exhausted, probably. In a new country. I don't know. I have so much empathy now, but like we would drive her to run to her room and lock the door. And we would yeah. like have our fingers under like, come on, let us in. We would write notes like to her
right.
and pass them under the door. Like, please come out. Please come out. Probably manifested its way somehow negatively. But yeah, that was rejection.
Right.
Have you guys ever been rejected by a pet that gets a new favorite?
Oh my God. Do you have a cat?
Isn't that the worst? I don't have one with me, but I have a family dog.
Every person I've ever dated, every roommate I've ever had, my cat will imprint on and love more than me. And it hurts so much. It really hurts.
That honestly must be what it's like to be a parent. You just watch your child love everything else.
Oh my God.
So much more.
Heartbreaking. Another reason not to do it.
Do it.
If I can't handle my cat, I don't know. Yeah, I feel rejected on behalf of Allie's mom because Allie's such a great human being. She works with Bradley, who we might all be familiar with. I don't know. And really helps his mom, like flies out to Chicago. Bradley's an adult with autism. She's worked with for a long time. And she's gotten so close with Bradley's mom, Barb, that she'll call her second mom. And then she's like, and Barb will send Christmas presents down around the holidays. Like when we're down in North Carolina, we'll be like, to my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if I were your mom, Allie, I would be livid. Like she always calls her daughter, and like they got in an argument a few months ago. And when they made up, she was like, I would never do that. I mean, you are my daughter. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, I was getting so triggered for Allie's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely an overstep that I have authority to speak on. But
yeah.
Well, that brings up a point of sometimes things that maybe feel like rejection, but actually aren't. Like, you know, when you're especially like middle school dynamics, like you brought up, it's like if your friend makes your best friend makes a new friend and all of a sudden that's their best
ultimate
friend. It's not
betrayal.
Necessarily. Yeah, it's not necessarily, though, a rejection of you. They're just like also friends with someone else. Now I'm thinking about Housewives with like Bethany and Carol. Like Bethany was feeling rejected.
Me too. I was just going to say, well, we can apply this to Bethany and Carol.
Right. Bethany was feeling rejected, and it wasn't like so much about rejection. It's like you got to share sometimes, but if you let yourself feel rejected and then act out in anger or let your insecurities get the best of you, then that can lead to actual rejection.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like sort of like rejecting like yourself in that sense because you're taking it out on yourself by lashing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
If you lash out, it's because you're carrying something that's on you. Yeah.
No one hurts my feelings more than me. I need to get better about like examining why I feel rejected in the first place. Like that step I always skip and go straight to like rage, accusatory ideas or remarks.
Because I feel like it always feels like it's like a not enough situation.
But right,
again, when it's like when you were talking about the casting thing, or like when you reject somebody on a personal level, it's usually not. I mean, half the time it's usually not because something is lacking.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you said, it's just not there.
Right.
Does that make sense? They're not the one, but it's not because they're not funny enough or not attractive enough or, you know.
When my wife and I recently opened up our marriage, there were some like insecurities of does this mean I'm not enough? And is this a rejection of me? And you really have to be able to overcome those thoughts to make it work. Because if you can't overcome those thoughts, like it will never work. If you're thinking that, this is about rejection, then you can't move forward from that. So it can be definitely a tricky thing.
Yeah. Or it's like if we view it as personal, then we accept the rejection as valid, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
Enough for me. I need therapy. I'm working on it.
Do you think you'd rather be the rejector or the rejectee?
Normally, I think I would say rejectee. But in this moment, I'm feeling very sensitive. I am going to say the rejector.
Pisces season. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I like being the rejectee.
Yeah. Good for you.
I don't, I feel so punishment. Bad. I'm trying to get better at it, but I feel so bad about possibly like hurting people's feelings. It's a lot. Like I had a dating show, a queer dating show that I put on for Valentine's Day, and I got all these applications, and in my mind I was like, I'm only gonna pick like 7. I think I picked like 17, and then like tried to, I'm like, and then I can make a lightning round to fit in the rest. Like it was so hard for me to pick because I'm like, well, I wonder, you know, all these people are just looking for love. I can't say no to them, even though it's like I don't know them. It's nothing personal. I'm just trying to like make sure there's variety. But I had the hardest time with it.
Yeah, Carolyn used to reply to every mean comment or DM we'd ever get. Like every like truly unhinged email. She would try to find common ground and spend so much mental, emotional energy over it. And I was like, you have to just let some go. Yeah. Oh my God.
Right.
So just move it. Moving on down to the elite.
Yeah.
Slowly getting better. Slowly getting better.
Yeah. Still, I'm like really impressed that you're saying the rejectee.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Good on you.
I think it goes like we always, or we used to ask guests when we did these Patreon exclusive like 20 question type things, it was, would you rather be the dumper or the dumpy? And for me, it's always be the dumpy, because I've never been good at being the dumper. I'd rather have someone else just call it and then I can deal with it, because I don't want to feel like, oh, maybe I made a mistake or whatever. I'd rather feel like, oh, it's out of my control, they don't want to be with me.
Everyone feels pity for me. Everyone's buying my drinks now.
That's what it's about. I love being a victim.
Yeah.
That's why I want to be rejected.
Yeah. No one's mad at me.
Right.
It's great.
No one's mad at me.
Yeah.
That's why every day I wake up, who's mad at me? When will I spiral out about it? Before or after coffee? Not to reject everyone, but I think we have to wrap up.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah. Thanks for tagging out with us.
Thanks for doing this. We got to get you on
Thanks
Stonewall.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. We should all go to Stonewall.
And but I meant you doing the show.
We
got to get you on the Stonewall stage.
Got it. Yeah. I'd love to do that too. That'd be so fun.
Where can people follow you on social media?
I am on Twitter and on Instagram at Alicia Hush. I do not have TikTok, unfortunately.
Don't say unfortunately. So, that's okay. Yeah. Normalize not being on TikTok, please.
Okay. Normalize and posting quarterly on TikTok.
Okay.
Yeah. And when is Comedy Ugly for anyone in New York who wants to check it out?
Yes, please do come check it out. Comedy Ugly is the first Thursday of every month at 9 p.m. at Easy Lover in Williamsburg. It is so fun.
So fun. Great music.
Thank you.
Great vibes.
So fun. Thank you. Thank you.
Love it.
It is a blast.
Lastly, are your DMs open for lesbians to slide in and make you uncomfortable?
Yes, please. Yes, please. I honestly could use it. I could use it.
Whoa, you heard it here first.
Now keep we're going to have you back for an update. Yeah.
Yeah.
let us know. listeners,
amazing.
Make us proud. All right.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, we have quite the appropriate listener question for this topic.
I'm going in raw. Normally, yeah. Would pick it out, go over it, paraphrase it.
Edit it.
Yeah.
We're on a time crunch right now. So we got a very detailed situation from a listener, and I don't have the time to rewrite it. So I'm just going to give you guys the gist of this listener question. Basically, it's this 20-year-old listener who has a girlfriend, and her girlfriend's mom basically confessed to her that she's in love with her. How messy, how Jerry Springer is this? Okay. So the listeners girlfriend's mom confessed her love for the listener. The listener's mom has been married, I believe, to a woman for 16 years.
Wow.
And the listener was trying to talk her out of it, being like, you know, maybe you're just like nostalgic for a different time, blah, blah, blah. And the mom is insisting, no, I'm in love with you. And is like, and has been infatuated with this listener for the last 4 years. And
4 years. They're 20 now?
Yeah, so they've been with their girlfriend for a while. They're very stressed out, obviously. And this listener doesn't know what the hell to do. Like, should they leave their girlfriend, who they say they're madly in love with? They don't want to, like, cause the parents to divorce or to have the girlfriend, you know, have a strained relationship with the mom. They don't know if they should, like, set boundary. This is a mess of a situation. I mean, you're 20. I'd say run. Like, I cannot see any type of good resolution. Like, I'm sure you feel like you're madly in love, but this ain't it. This is not sustainable. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all.
Not your fault. You're so magnetic that an adult could not handle themselves appropriately.
Who can handle themselves around a queer welder?
Oh, you know, see,
right? Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
That was another detail. So, no,
this is,
listener,
I mean, this is predatory.
It's very predatory. Like that.
This person was 16 years old. This woman just admitted to lusting after.
Yeah. That's insane.
Her daughter's 16-year-old friend.
This
Fuck
is insane.
That.
Yeah. No, this is like 10 shades of messy.
Yeah.
This is really bad. And like the only, like, if you want your girlfriend to like basically sever the relationship with her mom and like move somewhere else with you far away,
have her run away with you because you are running.
Yeah, you must.
That's clear.
End that relationship now. You can't be around this predatory. Oh, this is so unfortunate in so many ways.
Yeah.
Extract yourself from this situation.
I laugh sometimes uncomfortably. Okay.
Yeah. No, this,
it's gotta be over.
Yeah.
We need a follow
end
up.
It. Yeah. Yeah. Let us know. Cause this question was submitted a little while ago. Cause we've been making our way through the list, but there's not too much more to say than that. And don't worry, you'll find love again in a less complicated situation. Get out of there. This is making you feel horrible. It can only get worse, honestly. So, you know, if you have a question and you need us to answer it immediately, patrons go to the top of the list. If not,
or send an email on Carolyn.
We have a heart. Okay, sometimes the ones that seem, we don't get to always read all of them as they come in. Sometimes we do catch one that seems like like we must take care of this now.
We do.
But, you know, don't abuse it. Don't abuse it or we will reject you.
Oh.
No, we won't. No. You know, I can't reject. You just learned that about me. I have problems.
You know, I'm email desperate us. For love. And validation.
Checking out at gmail.com. Speaking right over that, Mel.
Feeling rejected. Okay.
If you don't want me to feel rejected, you can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali, but if you ever unfollow me, I will find out.
I will hear about it.
So hurt and so rejected. And Carolyn will hear about it.
And then I'll have to find you and avenge Melody's honor. So
you
don't want
that.
We don't want a mess.
So
all right.
Head on over to Instagram.
And keep it cool in the comments. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for diking out with us this week.
See you next Tuesday.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.